This hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Canada Pet Foods. Superior quality in every bag and can.
Hey, good morning, or good afternoon, y'all. It's Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. Normally, we're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, a.m. 1150. But we had women's basketball going on this morning, so we weren't here. I hope you got the word and didn't show up early. But we're here now from 2 to 5 this afternoon. We're live in the studio. It's Vet Sunday. Dr. Mike Salewski is here in the house, and we are going to have a great time. You want to know why? I'm awake! Woohoo! My energy is totally different in the afternoon and the evening, so at least I won't blast you out of bed this way. Anyway, across the table from me, as always, Animal World's production engineer, Gary Hill, is here. Good afternoon, Gary.
Hello.
Now, you see, I don't have automatic pilot for 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which was my good morning almost crept out of my mouth. Sucked it back up. Yeah, kind of sucked half of it back up there before, but we'll see how I do in the next 2 hours. But I have to be paying attention, and I'm sure every time I look at the clock, it's like 2:05. Ah! You know, I had a dream. Before we knew about this time change, I had a dream a few weeks ago that I woke up on Sunday morning like at 9:05, and I have to get this done. I'm late. And then we're like, no, the show isn't on this morning. So I think I had a premonition. So therefore, I was okay this morning. I didn't freak out.
That's really funny.
However, but I did wake up at 6:30, which is what time I would normally get up on Sundays. Not when I normally get up, but on Sundays.
Yeah, this was a good morning to just stay in bed. It was cold.
Boy, it's been cold for a while. And you think it's cold? Well, I don't know about at your house, because you're a little down south. You're in Des Moines, right?
Yes.
Because now I'm back in the country, so it's like colder than usual. And Sandy, Animal World's co-producer and call screener, is here. And you've been off somewhere. I haven't even had time to figure out where you've been.
Oh,
but was it cold where you were?
It was cold, and it's cold here.
It is.
It's cold.
All right. Well, before we get into the cold discussion, let's also say Dr. Mike Salewski is here from the, and I think I have it right, first time. Let's see.
It's
Alternative Medicine and Rehabilitation Center at Pilchuck Veterinary Hospital in Snohomish.
Look at that. You
hey,
got it.
Woo!
All right.
Tis, all right.
It's better for you, maybe.
It is better for I'm awake, like I told you. I am not a morning person. Never have been. I don't know if I ever will be. But I'm all here in the afternoon, and probably two here, because, you know, I get these triple espressos before the show on Sunday morning, and now I'm wondering, do I really need all this caffeine in the afternoon? Probably not. Well, just let me know if you have to peel me off the wall.
I don't know, Gary. I think that when things go wrong today, we should just blame Martha.
That's a great idea.
No, she blames either Gary or me. It just depends.
And if one of them are here, then it's always their fault, whatever goes on.
So now this
I suppose that's turnaround's fair play.
Right.
Look how nice I am on an afternoon. You just blame me. It's okay. Although we could blame Mike, because he's not usually here.
There you go.
But he is here. Anyway, Dr. Mike is here, and it is the first Sunday of December. Can you believe it? December 6th already, and that means Vet Sunday. So any of you are wondering, where the heck is Dr. Al? Well, Dr. Al is celebrating the holidays early with his family, and he is out in the wilderness of Idaho. And so we hope he has a wonderful time with his family and the snow. They've got some major snow already, because he's sent me some photographs that his kids sent down. And they're pretty buried, so he's up there in the snow in Idaho somewhere having a good time. And fortunately, Dr. Mike was available. And even with the sports preemption, when we had to move the show, you shifted your schedule around to be here. Really appreciate that.
Not a problem.
And you're wearing, today, most of the time, you're going to be wearing your vet hat.
Mm-hmm.
But we will talk about the dark side of Dr. Saluski, which would be... The last time he was here totally blew me away that you are also an author of a murder mystery.
That would be the dark side for sure.
That would be, because it really is. It's a dark book. Even the cover, the energy of the book is one of the greatest I've ever seen for a murder mystery, because you've just captured the energy in you know, the artwork and the colors on the book. Anyway, it's fabulous. It's called Barn Politics. We'll chat about that from time to time if we run out of veterinary stuff to talk about. And, of course, when we change the hours of the show, it's always a test to see who's actually listening. And, you know, years ago I always knew that my folks were listening, but I don't know, I suppose they tune in from the other side, but, you know, I can't say physically they're listening. So we don't actually know if there's anyone out there or not. But I have to say, Sandy, isn't it true that in the past, when we've done an afternoon show, it's felt like our audience was actually larger than in the morning, and we've always had a lot of new people. So it'll be a test when we get to opening the phone lines, because Dr. Mike is here, and on the air, he's free. So we will have open phone lines for your animal healing questions, medical issues, healing questions, that sort of thing, and it will be fun. And it's always interesting that with the animals in the news, there's always stuff that comes up. You know, always that when we've got, like, Vet Sunday, things come up that we can talk about. So there's interesting conversations I think we're going to have with what's in the news today. And that, of course, is where we're going to start after I tell you what's happening today. I better do that very quickly, because it's not Sunday morning. It's 2:09 in the afternoon. And today is your last chance to get Santa pony pictures at the Equine Rescue Association up in Marysville. And if you heard our interview with them last week, boy, any horse rescues. And I bet, Mike, you must see it, because first and foremost, you were an equine or horse vet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct.
And then you've gone into holistic medicine or alternative medicine, and you do chiropractic and acupuncture and Chinese herbs, and you work on everything.
Yes.
Well, I mean, in an animal suit.
Sure.
With that kind of stuff. But is it fair to say that your first love is equine medicine, or?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, that's when I came out of vet school. My original purpose was to just go in and be an all equine doctor. And initially, getting into the dogs and cats and pigs and goats, you know, with the holistic stuff, I was a little bit reluctant at first, because I always thought of myself as, you know,
a horse guy.
Vet.
Yeah.
But I tell you, now it's really nice, because you do get to see, you know, all these different types of cases, and the different species definitely have, you know, different ways that you need to approach them, both from a medical standpoint as well as from a handling standpoint and dealing with them. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Now, would you say, as an equine horse guy, horse vet, are you seeing problems in terms of being able to support the horses, pay the bills?
In my practice itself, I haven't seen that, and to a large degree, I think that's because I deal mostly with sport horses. And so, you know, there's a lot of, I guess, what you would call disposable income engaged in sport. But that said, in the community as a whole, you definitely are seeing, you know, the rescue groups sort of being overwhelmed.
Yeah.
As we're getting into winter now, too, horses that maybe with a family that are having difficulty with the economy, but have been able to do okay on pasture, now that pasture is dying off and they need to be supplemented, might be having a tough time. Shelter becomes a big issue, obviously, too, as the weather's getting colder. So, you know, last winter there was a real big problem with abandoned horses.
Yeah.
You know, the rescue groups were having a tough time. And imagine this year it's not going to be any better.
No, I would say it's probably even started earlier. We've already been reporting on, there was a story, horse story in the news last couple of weeks that a group of like five horses were abandoned in the Olympic Peninsula, just in a forest. And they were afraid to leave the forest they were left. And so by the time they were found, they were really in bad shape. And one of them had to be euthanized and fostered out. But the rescues are usually are pretty much all full and really working on or surviving on a wing and a prayer. And in Equine Rescue Association being my personal favorite up in Marysville, because they not only help the horses and take the older ones and the ones that most rescues won't take, but they also save kids and even adults that do their work release and so forth there and come and volunteer. And the stories I've heard are just phenomenal. And the kids that work and have saved, their lives have been saved by bonding with the horses. So they really need help. And this afternoon is their last Pony Santa pictures, so you can take your kids up and get some Pony Santa pictures. If you're an adult, you can get pictures. And they do riding lessons, weather permitting, and it's dry today. It's cold, but it's dry. So it is from 1 to 4 this afternoon. And the Equine Rescue Association is in Marysville, and it's real easy to get to. You can listen to Animal World while you're cruising on up there, and you just head north on I-5, and you take the 116th Street exit in Marysville, which is one north of the Quilceta exit, and you just turn left off the freeway, which brings you back over the freeway. You're heading west, and you just go straight until you go through a stop sign, and then it's on your right, and it's real easy to find. So head on up there if you can and support Equine Horse Rescue. So that's happening today. Then we, of course, have some animals in the news stuff and interesting topics that we're going to discuss with Dr. Mike, and then, of course, we'll have open phone lines for your animal medical care questions. And Sandy, I didn't finish up with you and find out, where the heck have you been? I didn't find out where you've been.
Oh, we're just with some friends in Tacoma.
Oh, okay, so not a great distance away.
Not a great distance away.
Okay, but so it was cold enough. In Tacoma, too, huh?
Yes, it was.
It's cold in Monroe. And although I'm saying I am so loving being back in the neighborhood. And Mike and I could have carpooled today, except he was out doing other stuff. But I could have picked you up.
Hey, just around the corner now.
Yeah, I waved at your house every time I go by. It's like, well, hi, Mike. But so far, I've never seen you there. I never did in all those years I was there either.
I'm a little busy.
Yeah. Well, I don't imagine. I think from where your place is, most of your stuff is back behind you, right? Most of your property. I mean, your house is fairly close to the road, but most of your stuff is behind.
Yeah, there were the barn.
Because I don't know, in all the years, I lived up there for 13 years. You moved in not too long after I moved in.
We've been there 10 years now.
Okay, well, let's see. So I first moved out there in 1990. So.
Yeah, so for us, it would have been 99.
Oh, so I guess I have been there quite a while before you moved in.
98, because Lynn was pregnant with Daniel, and he was born in 98.
Yeah, okay. But in the years that you were there before I left, and now that I'm back, I don't think I have ever seen a human out at your place.
I'm surprised, because for the longest time we were known as the house with the naked children bouncing on the trampoline.
I missed that opportunity.
Yeah.
The house with the naked kids on the trampoline.
Yeah, keeping clothes on young boys proved to be difficult in their early years, that's for sure.
Oh, that's hysterical. Yep, I didn't drive by at the right time. You know what? I've really been disappointed, though. I was really excited because the place Kitty Corner from years used to always have a fresh eggs sign.
Oh, mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the really attractive place with a junk car that's so nicely planted right in front
sure.
of it now. But they haven't had their sign there for a long time. But around the corner, corner. So towards my house, mm-hmm. there's the place that had a fresh egg sign.
Oh, sure.
And I thought, I can't wait. As soon as I move up here, I'm stopping in, I'm getting fresh. Because, you know, there's nothing that compares to freshly laid eggs compared to what you get in the grocery store. And then it was like the day before Thanksgiving, which is right after I moved, I drive by and they've put paper over their sign. So I think everybody stopped by for Thanksgiving eggs, and they must not have eggs this time of year.
Sure, then maybe they slowed down laying.
Yeah.
Because our chickens have slowed down.
I mean, so they've got their sign. But as soon as they take that paper off that sign, I'm in there to get some fresh eggs. Can't wait. So you have chickens too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So you get aren't fresh eggs?
They're
like
the best.
Absolutely. It's just totally different. And like they're different color. The yolks are a different color.
Yeah, they're orange.
Yeah. It's like, whoa, you have fresh eggs. And it's like, don't really want to eat those other ones anymore.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can have chickens in the city now. I just thought I'd throw that in there for everybody that's listening that doesn't live in the country. Yeah, that wants fresh eggs. All right, let's stay on time, take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and then we will continue with animals in the news and the best good news about animals. So stay with us. It's Vet Sunday right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150, and we are here until 5 p.m.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Join Sports Tangle every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m. right here on 1150 AM. Brian Abker, Brian Bacon, Matt Zarter, and Gary Hill bring unique, entertaining, and thoughtful perspectives on Northwest sports and beyond. Visit SportsTangle.com for more information. That's Sports Tangle, every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m.
Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods, even if you home cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff? Well, that's why Designing Health created The Missing Link. Now, they start with human-grade, all whole natural raw food sources, protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it. Mix up your animal friend's food, add in The Missing Link, a little cool water to mix it up, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3 and 6 oils, the enzymes and the raw ingredients and the fiber. The Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats, and there is a Missing Link formula for dogs. There's one for cats, a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats and other critters like hamsters, rabbits, guinea pigs, and the like. There's a bird formula and a horse formula and a Missing Link Plus with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support in a dog and horse formula. So ask for the Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies or go directly to Designing Health. You can give them a call at 1-800-774-7387. That's 1-800-774-7387 or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
Alternative Talk 1150. It's the home of mastery and mystery.
The art of good grieving is what we'll be talking about 7 o'clock Sunday with John James and Russell Friedman.
And at 8 p.m. we'll have psychic medium Suzanne Northrup for a full hour following up on her Seattle appearance a couple of weeks ago.
Good grief and great guests on The Gary Mann Show, Sunday at 7, Alternative Talk 1150 KKNW.
Spread the word. You don't have to settle for the usual talk radio. Now there's Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Are they like just too cute? I just love, love, love the Jingle Cats. And oh, by the way, next week is our annual Hanukkah celebration. And Dr. Mike, if you didn't know this, the Jingle Cats happen to do the absolute best version of Hava Nagila that's ever been recorded. Now, that, of course, is in my opinion, but I think Sandy and Gary agree. It is to die for, and we just play the heck out of it next week. So you have to be here for Hava Nagila next week. All right, it is a preempted version of Animal World. We are live. We're in the studio from 2 to 5 p.m. today. We were preempted this morning for basketball, which means your host is awake at the switch here, but doesn't have automatic pilot for 2 o'clock. So I keep looking at the clock and thinking, what the heck is going on? Anyway, Dr. Mike Salewski is here from the Alternative Medicine and Rehabilitation Center at Pilchuck Veterinary Hospital.
Well, you're two for two now.
Ooh, scary. I'm sure I'm going to get it right every time. And the author of The Dark Murder Mystery Barn Politics. Ooh, great Christmas present, by the way. Mm-hmm. Yep, for people that like murder mysteries, or vets, or horses, or Mike. Yep, except that if you want to look it up online, you have to look for your other name.
Yeah, for Philip Marshall.
Philip Marshall, which is very cool. And that's because Philip means...
horse lover.
And Marshall means...
horse servant.
So the horse lover and servant pulls on his dark side
<That's right.
laughs> to write Barn Politics. But he doesn't hide who he is because on the, you know, you get, he says who he really is. But that's a good thing. You just leave Philip Marshall at home when you're working on my animals.
Okay? No problem.
All right, let's get into animals in the news. Now, here's an interesting, well, this is a little scary, and it reminds me of an experience I had on my farm years ago. So, Dr. Mike, I want to know if you've heard anything about this. It's from our state, and it's who attacked the dog. It's getting so a dog can't take care of business anymore without risking life and limb. A 9-year-old miniature pincher named Mary Lou had just taken her owner, Sarah Miller, into the front yard of their South Spokane home about 5 p.m. last Sunday when the 8-pound dog was attacked by an owl.
Not surprising.
Quote, it must have come from above the garage, and the next thing I knew, it was just attacking her, Miller said. Her dog was at the end of a 5-foot leash. The owl didn't take the leash into consideration, said Miller. When she saw the owl flapping its wings, trying to take Mary Lou for a flight into oblivion, Miller pulled on the leash and ran. Quote, I was going to take that owl down, Miller said. Although she kicked at it, she's not sure she landed any blows. Miller grabbed Mary Lou, who was bleeding from her neck and shoulder. She wrapped the min pin in a towel and took her to the pet emergency clinic, where the dog was x-rayed, treated for her lacerations, and prescribed painkillers, antibiotics, and anti-inflammatory drugs. A Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife official guessed the dog's assailant was a great horned owl, a species not uncommon on the South Hill.
Sure.
Now, have you had any patients or you had any experience? Because we got owls out where we live.
Yeah, and with the small dogs and eagles, too. I mean, you know, an eagle's bigger than a great horned owl.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
They're around a lot right now.
Eagles, osprey.
Yeah.
And
I mean, coyotes,
the great horn. Yeah, well, the coyote, sure,
yeah.
And the cougars.
Yep.
The bear, I mean, there's everything out there. I had an experience back on the farm when you remember my Abyssinians, the Blue Boys, Jilpy and G-Man. Well, I learned out at the farm. I thought I was moving to the country and my animals would be safer from being in the city. And I realized once I'd been out there for a while, that wasn't necessarily the truth. I didn't have a lot of busy roads and streets around me, but there are all those predators, aerial and ground. So I decided to keep my cats as indoor-only cats, have a cat run. But I would take them out for walks on with their metropolitan walking jackets and flexi leads, you know, like the 16-foot mm-hmm. flexi leads. And I had a partner at the time. We were walking the Blue Boys. And, you know, they like to cruise all over the property. And it was dusk. It was later at night, or in the evening. So it was still light enough that we could see what was going on, but it was dusk. And we, you know how I had that big 120 by 80 foot indoor riding arena. And so there's big eaves, and I had a lot of pigeons in there. I had a barred owl
mm-hmm.
that
sure.
came in, not a barn, a barred owl that came in to kind of manage the pigeon population. Well, of course, I didn't know it was in the barn, and we were coming behind the back of the arena, the cats, of course, kind of go ahead of us on those flexi leads, and so Jilpy, and my partner had G-Man, but Jilpy was probably 5 feet in front of me, not too far, which is good, and out of that arena, that barred owl came out, you know, and he had his radar on my Jilpy.
Oh, sure.
And of course, they make no noise. But fortunately, I happen to have my eyes on the cat, and I'm looking that direction. And that owl came out of that arena and sailed down. And of course, I jumped right in front. And the owl, whoops, and off he went. But if I hadn't have been there, and that was the last day we ever took the cats out on at dusk.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had an experience, I don't know if it was before or after that, whenever we took them out, my dogs came with us. And we actually, the feral cat would follow us on the walks, and then we'd have a couple of the cats on the leashes. And we had gone way to the back of my property. And we were walking, all the cats were staying close, and of course two of them were on leashes, and it was Eddie Spaghetti. You remember Eddie, you did lots of work on Eddie. He was one of my Wolfodies.
Yep.
Arctic Wolf, Coyote, and Shepherd. And all of a sudden, Eddie was out in front of us, and he crouched and did that crawl thing for a few steps, and then boom, he was off, and out of those bushes he chased a coyote off. So there was a coyote that was stalking us. And the cats.
Yeah, there's a lot of them around.
Yeah.
We, you know, lose a couple of chickens here and there to them, and we've had a peregrine falcon take out two of our hens.
Oh, so yeah. Really? Yeah. Now, so do you keep your chickens, do you keep them locked up at night?
At night, but during the day we let them free range.
Okay, so you've had falcons come in during the day, though, and take some chickens.
Yeah,
wow.
Absolutely.
Wow. So I guess it's just a warning for you, if you live anywhere where there are aerial or ground predators, you'd be especially careful when you're walking your little animal friends or letting them out at dusk or at night. Now,
yeah, of course, especially those little 8-pounders.
Yeah, yeah, because obviously this was a 9-pound minpin, and this owl didn't hesitate for a second and probably could have easily carried it off.
Yeah,
wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's see.
That's why I own Basset Hounds.
Well, that's true. I don't think they could pack off a Basset Hound.
No, maybe. I don't think so either. And if they got close enough, the smell alone would be like, ah!
You know, I also had an experience on the farm. I remember this now. I had taken a walk to the back of my property, so I was several acres away from my house, and it was all open pasture land from where I was. You know, I was heading back towards the state forest lands. Mike knows kind of this layout. And my black cat, Isis, was following me, but he was back. And I think I still had Rami and Isis at that point. They were back in the middle of the grassy pasture, probably a football field length away from where I was. And you know how the eagles get in the wind drafts and circle the sky, you know, when they're going down to the river? There was an eagle up there circling, and I could just see it from where I was, the eagle circling and sees those black spots moving down there, and you could see the circle coming down, and I could just see it. The eagle was, and so all I could do, Sandy, you'll appreciate this, from where I was, the only thing I could do was put up a light energy pyramid over the cats and then run like heck back down there. But as soon as I put up that light energy, said they're not volunteers, and then the eagle slowed down, and I was able to get back there in time for the eagle to say, well, okay, I guess I'll, but boy, you got to watch it when you're, and even in, you know, I just moved out of Laurelhurst in Seattle, we have eagle's nest was a half a block from my house, so the animals are adapting to civilization and moving in, so it's not their fault for being doing what they need to do to survive, so you've got to watch out for your animal friends.
You know, the raccoon family next door.
Oh, that's right. You've been having trouble with the raccoons.
Has a holiday tree set up, I think. You know, the little stockings by the fireplace. There's a little smoke coming out, and we have right now Yola Bean's sister staying with us, and she throws her whole body into an aru. It doesn't matter, day or night, because those raccoons are over there having holiday fun and not inviting the hounds.
Well,
so they do. They adapt. These animals are adapting to urban living quite well, whether it be a ground animal or a bird.
Okay. And then speaking of that, I'm going to skip ahead because it's kind of on the same lines. That y'all might want to bring up this article, and in accord with what we've just been talking about. This was out of the Seattle Times last Sunday, November 29th, and search Protecting Sheep or Bicyclists. And this is out of Camp Hale, Colorado. And it's a whole story about a sheep farmer who has been contracted by, you know, the Department of Fish and Wildlife, the government. Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at the details here, to graze his sheep on certain areas of government property. And over the years, with all the predators in the area, he kept losing all his sheep, and they've tried everything to protect the sheep. And the only thing that's worked has been Great Pyrenees guard dogs, you know, which do a fabulous job of protecting their herd. Well, the story is about the fact that the areas where he's contracted and is required to graze his sheep are now also being used by joggers and bicyclists. You know, we humans have invaded all this territory. And apparently what happened is that he had not been notified of a bicycle race that day in this area. But on general principles, he kept his sheep out of the area until dark, just to avoid confrontations with humans. But no one warned him told him about this race, and so he let the sheep out, and one gal had a flat tire on her bike or something, but wanted to finish the race, so she's coming through at dusk on her bike by herself, and the peers attacked her.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it's really a quandary when you read this story, which is why the title, Protecting Sheep or Bicyclists. Well, the woman that got attacked and the husband sounded pretty vindictive and really went after the guy that owned the sheep and forced him into having to destroy the dogs, and then pursuing, even, and that wasn't enough, pursuing him, and they got him to be charged, and sounded like a little inside out backwards way of the law, criminally for this behavior. So he almost ended up in jail. The judge didn't put him in jail, but gave him 500 hours of community service. And so now he can't have dogs anymore, can't protect his sheep, is required to graze them in these areas, and so he's lost, like this last year, 26% of his sheep. So it's kind of like, all right, who are we protecting here? And in this case, I don't know, after reading the story, I'm on the sheep and the herder's side. But I don't know.
Yeah, you know, it seems like at some point you have to say that, hey, it was an awful thing that happened,
yeah,
but there's really no fault. I mean, the it's not like,
right,
you've got vicious dogs that you're letting roam the neighborhood.
Exactly.
You know, they're working animals.
Right.
They're doing what they're supposed to do, you know, as opposed to having a vicious dog that should be in your yard that you just let roam free in the neighborhood and attacks a person.
Well, exactly. You know? And that had the system worked the way it was supposed to, and he had been warned, he would not have had his sheep there. But since he's required to have them there and he wasn't notified, it wasn't like he did something intentionally wrong and that the dogs really did anything wrong. They're doing what they're supposed to do. But it's kind of a sad dilemma on how, what are we going to do here? Protect the animals or the humans? Or,
well, it's probably inject a little common sense into the law.
It would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's, well, anyway. Yeah, so if you want to know all of those details, search it online. And then this is just almost a follow-up piece. Trying to crack an ocean mystery. This was also front page of last Sunday's Times. You know, the mysterious bird killing algae that coated Washington's ocean beaches this fall with slimy foam was the biggest and longest lasting harmful algae bloom to hit the Northwest coast. Now the phenomenon that killed at least 10,000 seabirds, more than any known event of its kind, has scientists consumed by questions. Was it a rogue occurrence, rarely if ever to be repeated, or a sign of some fundamental marine world shift? And it's quite a long article if you want to bring it up and read it. But that'll be interesting to see what they find out. I don't know how they do that, but kind of scary, that bloom. Now, yeah, here's another one. Now, this is, I'll just read this to you. Swedish police say they've cleared a man who was arrested for allegedly murdering his wife after they decided the culprit was most likely a moose. Police spokesman Ulf Carlson says the improbable has become probable in the death last year of Agneta Westland, 63, who was found dead after going on an evening stroll in the forest. The tabloid reported that hairs and saliva from a moose, a.k.a. a European elk, were found on the victim's clothes. So how's that? For the husband gets arrested for killing his wife,
well, sure,
and then they found out it was a moose?
That's always who they first suspect. But I guess the moose hair and saliva was a giveaway.
Kind of gives it away. But, I mean, so, I've always heard that moose can be pretty aggressive.
Absolutely. You know, when I practiced up in Anchorage for a short while.
Oh, that's right. You were up
there. Yeah. There was, especially in the winter, they'd come out of the hills, and people would feed them in their backyards, and then they'd run out of food, and they, you know, moose would just attack them. And I had to sew up horses that had been attacked by moose.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Horses got attacked by moose.
Those two creatures seemed like they were mortal enemies.
Really?
You could be working on a horse, and they would all of a sudden, you know, get all blowy and nervous and looking around, and you wouldn't be able to see anything, and then you'd kind of squint. Now, off in the distance in the woods, you could see that there was a moose walking, and the horses were nervous, but, yeah.
You know, that reminds me... been years since we talked about it, but when I lived in Bridal Trails, and I backed up against Bridal Trails State Park, you know, and Dan and I would ride the trails all the time, and friends and horses, it was amazing. Now, as far as I know, I don't know that Dan ever had any experience with deer prior to my friend Carla, who boarded her horse with me, Rusty, and he was worse than Dan. They even sensed deer around, and they would freak out. And really, really frightened of the deer. I don't know why. Do you have any?
I don't know. Some horses are scared of most things.
I mean, because Carla boarded her horse with me for a while, and then she and her husband bought a place on the other side of Bridal Trails so that her horse could be with her. So when we would go on a ride, she'd often ride back with me to my barn, and then she'd ride home alone across the trails. Well, there was one day that she couldn't get home because there were deer between my place and her place, and her horse wouldn't go. So I don't know if they have an innate fear of horned animals, or
my wife wrote a stallion who was terrified of pigs.
Really?
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just one of those things. And I knew another girl who had a horse, an event horse. I mean, and this was a brave horse. He, you know, would go cross-country jumps, no problem, wasn't scared of water. But I put a cow around the showgrounds, and he would flip out.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, one of those things. I don't know what brings it on.
Yeah. Maybe it's past life stuff.
Maybe that's what it is.
Okay. Now, well, here's the interesting. The population of California sea lions along the Oregon coast appears higher than normal this year. Biologists say this happens every few years, and it may be due to El Nino. And they say that El Nino has pushed many forage fish, such as herring, squid, hake, sardine, and anchovies, north from California. And according to the Oregon State University, the sea lions are just following the food. So that probably means there's going to be more of them up here, huh? Oh, no, this is interesting. Battle shaping up in the Midwest area, Chicago. Have you heard about the Asian carp in the Great Lakes?
No.
All right, you can search this in Seattle Times. It's Thursday, December 3rd. Asian carp alarm, Great Lakes. And apparently... well, fears that gigantic, voracious species of carp will get into the Great Lakes and wipe out other fish have led to rising demands that the government close the waterway connecting the lakes to the Mississippi River, an unprecedented step that could disrupt the movement of millions of tons of iron ore, coal, grain, and other goods. And the dispute could become a clash of competing interests, commerce, environmentalists, and fishermen. So this will be interesting how this shakes out. But the environmentalists fear that the fish, which consume up to 40% of their body weight daily in plankton, could starve out smaller and less aggressive competitors and cause the collapse of the $7 billion a year Great Lakes sport and commercial fishing industry. The carp, which can grow 4 feet long and 100 pounds, and are known for leaping out of the water when boats are near. Remember, you've seen those films of those fish jumping out and then whack-oling somebody in the boat?
Yeah.
It's really dangerous because they've killed people that way. And they were imported by southern fish farms, but escaped into the Mississippi in large numbers during flooding in the 1990s. So that article was in Thursday. Well, and what they decided to do here, in the struggle to keep the fish out, Illinois environmental officials began dumping poison, a fish toxin called rotenone, late Wednesday in a nearly 6 mile stretch of the Chicago Sanitary and Ship Canal to kill the carp while the electrical barrier is turned off for maintenance. So apparently they have a lock type situation like we do in the Ballard mm-hmm. locks, and they're concerned that the carp would come into the locks and then get into the lakes. So they have apparently an electrical wiring system that would kill any fish trying to get in there, but apparently the environmentalists say it's not effective because they found one fish beyond the electric barrier, apparently. So that's why they did this fish toxin in there while they were repairing the electricity. And let's see, the crews plan to use large cranes and nets to scoop up an estimated 200,000 pounds of dead fish. And they were going to take them to a landfill. So that was on Thursday, and then
that just has bad idea written all over it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then the next day, Friday, and it was 200,000 pounds of fish. They found one carp.
Oh, wow.
So now see that, because the one side that doesn't want to do anything, and the shipping industry, of course, they don't ever want to even think about closing this down, whereas the fishermen and the environmentalists are saying, we've got to do something before this really happens. Now they have the proof that it is starting to happen. So it'll be interesting, because what they want to do is shut down that locks, and so that would be a whole different way of life in terms of transporting. So I guess it's going to depend. It's going to be a real example of, well, what do we care about?
Yeah,
money or the environment?
Invasive species are a real problem a lot of places.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Speaking of, well, and now they aren't really invasive species, but these are strange animals. The resilient mole rats impressing researchers. You ever seen a mole rat?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you do? You know about mole rats.
I don't know about the study, but I know about mole rats.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I'll forget you. This is, naked mole rats don't get cancer. They shrug off brushes with acid and age so well. Some are older than the college-age researchers handling them. Quote, they really are from Mars, I think. This is a professor of biology scientists at the University of Illinois. No, they're from the Horn of Africa, but naked mole rats are becoming more popular in research laboratories, where the seemingly invulnerable rodents have surprised scientists with their ability to live up to 30 years and their potential to offer insights into human health. They're being used to study everything from aging to cancer to strokes, and they look like a hairless mole or hairless rat, kind of like a mole-shaped body. But then they have big buck teeth in front. So they look very strange. But apparently they're, rather than using regular rats, a lot of the scientific labs are switching over to these mole rats. So I mean, it brings up a lot of thought here. And A, do we support research on animals to begin with? And then what about, you know, these poor mole rats that, just because they live forever and can survive everything, can they really help us do the same? So what do you know about mole rats, Dr. Mike?
I didn't know that they were thinking about using them more. I know that they're not the prettiest creatures on the planet, but not that that makes a difference. I don't know. I guess coming from a science background, I feel that we really probably, for the sake of everything, need to investigate anything that could potentially lead to alleviating any suffering or improvements in health. I mean, as long as you do it as ethically as you can and, design your experiments correctly, I think that it sort of behooves us to look into these things for sure.
So you're not opposed to using animals
in
research?
No, I'm not.
Not generally.
I think there should be strict guidelines, but I'm not opposed to it in principle.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. All right, let's take care of our advertisers and sponsors. Stay on track. We've got one more interesting article to talk about, and then we'll do the best good news about animals and get on with that Sunday. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Canada Pet Foods is committed to providing you and your pets the highest quality, all-natural, human-grade holistic products using the finest natural ingredients available, including vitamins and chelated minerals. Canada products are made the Canada way with superior quality in every bag and can. 100% satisfaction guaranteed and 100% nutritionally guaranteed. Check out the new All Life Stages grain-free formula, 80% meat protein, 20% vegetables and fruit, and 0 grains. Discover why dogs love Canada. Go to Canada.com for more information.
Been there, done that? It's time for a change.
Hi, I'm Rob Spear.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we're the hosts of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference.
If you're ready to engage life, expand consciousness, and ride the wave rather than be bowled over by the incredible changes that are upon us, then join us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW 1150 a.m. or 98.9 HD3 or ConsciousTalk.net, where together we'll forge the new human being.
Urine contamination is a common and stubborn problem. Conventional cleaning methods are not the answer. Anti-Icky Poo works quickly and naturally, and it's my all-time absolute favorite odor neutralizer. This unique bacteria enzyme solution converts the waste directly into carbon dioxide, a safe and odorless gas found in everyday clean air. Ask your vet for Anti-Icky Poo or call 1-800-745-1671. Anti-Icky Poo, it's a serious product with a funny name that really works, especially on cat urine. 1-800-745-1671.
Karma specialist and founder of Metaphysical Mothering, Robin Alexis, is nurturing, powerful, and phenomenally gifted. Her books and personal one-on-one phone sessions can change your life forever. And now she's channeled the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. And she's created the Robin Alexis Online Soul Spa. Come to her website, robinalexis.com, for details on how to get a free month subscription to her online soul spa. Robin invites you to share your comments and metaphysical experiences on her forum and blog, and she invites you to take advantage of the free month subscription to her online soul spa at robinalexis.com. Robin uses her ability as a medium, medical intuitive, and healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. You can call her for a private session at 360-457-2993. Or you can email her at robin@robinalexis.com.
Write it down, shout it loud. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Now, wasn't that fun?
Hey, y'all. Martha Norwalk, thanks for spending your Sunday afternoon with us today. I'd like to do that every week, but next week we'll be back in our regular time slot, 9 a.m. to noon. And, boy, it is nice to be here and the sun's out, blue sky. Woohoo, how nice is that? Kind of a little weird to look out and see the sun and blue sky and then hear the Christmas music. Doesn't quite.
We need some snow. That's what my youngest keeps saying.
Well, as long as it doesn't happen on Sundays and I can get to and from, it'll be okay. However, I've decided I need to get remote equipment so that, because I can do the show from home over the phone, and we've done that before if we've had to, but it doesn't sound as good when everybody's on the phone. But with remote equipment, then it sounds normal, like you're in the studio. So I'm going to do that. And I won't always use it, but at least then I won't have to be really upset when I can't drive in.
You'll never have to be social again.
Yeah, I won't. I can just stay. Which is, I don't want to go anywhere. I love my new place so much.
Fantastic.
I'm so happy there. Let me tell you how much I love my pellet stove. What a gift that is. Wow. Flip a switch, push a button, and fire. Woohoo! No stoke in the, you know, it's like it's...
Yeah, the first place we lived had a pellet stove. It was nice.
Very nice. And I have radiant heat from the ceilings, which I thought was weird. Why would you put heat in the ceilings? Because doesn't heat rise and all of that? And I thought maybe it's... But It's delightful. I mean, I have a warm house for the first time in probably 30 years. I don't remember having a warm house because my old farmhouse, you know, was built like in the early 40s.
I've got one of those,
You got one of those? No insulation anywhere? And, when I tore out a wall in my farmhouse, found no insulation, one crumpled piece of paper, newspaper from a catalog, introducing rayon socks for 5 cents a fare and $5 mink coats. So that's when my farmhouse was built. Oh, it was cold. But this house is warm, and that radiant heat, and it comes down. It's like when it's on, it's like if you bend over, it feels like the sun is on your back. It's like very cool.
Oh, that is cool.
So my cats figured that out. G-Man figured out right away. You know,
they're sleeping up high now.
Very top of the cat post right next to the ceiling. It's well, anyway, I better get back. Did I tell you it's Vet Sunday today? Dr. Mike Saluski is here. Dr. Al's enjoying the holidays early in Idaho with his family. He'll be back next month. And we are I'm trying to finish up Animals in the News and get to the best good news about animals. And now this is another one I wanted to know about. It's going to lead us into a discussion. We won't be able to have the whole discussion now. But this is also out of the Times, Friday, December 4th. Trial begins on cattle for E. coli vaccine. Have you heard about this?
Mm-mm.
This is interesting. There are thousands of cattle now are a part of a large-scale test to see whether animal vaccines are an answer to one of the nation's most persistent food safety problems. The test has been a long time coming. Bureaucratic delays in Washington, D.C. stalled the arrival of the vaccine for years, even as people continued to become sick and dying from eating tainted beef. Even if the vaccine proves successful in the tests that are just beginning, they face an uncertain future as farmers and feedlot owners worry about who will pick up the extra costs. Scientists are fairly sure that vaccines like the one that's given in this test will not on their own wipe out the dangerous strain of E. coli. But if they prove effective, they could significantly reduce the amount of harmful bacteria that cattle carry into slaughterhouses, which means that safeguards in place there would have a greater chance of eliminating the remaining germs from the beef supply.
That's another thing that has bad idea written all over it, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, that's why I wanted your opinion on, first of all, aren't vaccines usually developed to create an immunity against a virus?
Yeah, typically bacterial vaccines aren't as effective.
Is that okay?
That tends to be the overall. And then, of course, you run into the same problem with antibiotic-resistant bacteria, that it probably wouldn't take too many generations to kind up with, you know, vaccine-resistant bacteria or a strain of E. coli that is toxic in an entirely different way than the one now. You know, it's frustrating because if you think about the solution is probably, you know, less huge feedlot, you know, industrial farming and smaller farming, and even allowing some smaller slaughterhouses to work and do a good job. As it is in the regulations now, it's very difficult for small farmers to slaughter their own meat or to have just a small sort of boutique house set up that might actually do a better job not mixing a bunch of, you know, different meats, not be this sort of industrial slaughter complex that are out there now where hundreds of thousands, you know, of carcasses are being processed. That's just the recipe for disaster. It seems like they're solving this from the wrong direction, if you ask me.
Well, I totally agree. The answer is we need to go back to a simpler way of life and getting our food locally.
Absolutely.
And that's what you're talking about.
Seasonally, locally, you bet. Absolutely.
And have it grown where you are, have it live where you are, and the smaller farms.
Right, right. There's certainly a lot of things have been written about this, but it's, you know, people have lost their relationship with food, you know, not knowing where, if they're somebody that does, you know, eat meat, knowing where that's coming from, knowing, you know, who's producing your food. It just kind of shows up on the table or shows up in a plastic wrap. And I think that's a dangerous habit to get into. We're losing nutritional value in food. We're losing taste in food. And so I agree, local and that whole slow food movement, I think, is great.
Yeah, well, we will. We have the opportunity to talk more about that, along with I want to talk more about vaccines in terms of I want to find out where you are these days on vaccines for our animal friends and all that sort of stuff. And we'll have that opportunity as the show goes on, unless, I mean, because if we don't get any calls.
I was thinking about leaving.
No, you can't leave. You can't leave. We have to talk about it. But before we close out this hour, let's take care of the best. Gary's, yeah, Gary's saying, I have to stall a little bit, you see, because we're all kind of off time-wise here. He's looking at me like, it's time for what? Why are you looking at me? Okay. But see, I'll tell you, it's my fault, Gary. I'm sorry.
Completely.
Yeah, no, but it's my fault, remember? You get a pass today. So I messed up. It's time for the best good news about animals. Which we don't really need the song today. We already got the sunshine. Very cool. All right. Okay, the best. The first up, this is a local teenager. Very cute story. It was on the front page of the Northwest Tuesday Times. Teen's video entry could be a coup. COOP. And cute little Jordan Lederman, 13, from Pine Lake Middle School, right here in our area, is one of the 10 finalists in this national video contest. It says, if the audience makes up the internet, that makes up the internet has a sense of humor, Jordan Lederman might win a national prize for her charming little video about how education and chicken raising go together. Earlier this year, the 13-year-old student at Pine Lake Middle School in Sammamish entered a video contest sponsored by the U.S. Department of Education on the importance of getting a good education. Of the 600 entries received, staffers at DOE picked 10 finalists, including Jordan's chicken video. Now, her chicken video she did with kind of a tongue-in-cheek and about her correlating her what she's learned from chickens in terms of education. It's very, very cute. And the decision was supposed to be made on Friday, but I haven't found anything that says who won. But I'm saying, you know, congratulations to Jordan for being a finalist.
That's fantastic.
And pick up the article, and you see a cute she doesn't like eggs. So she has, but it's very cute photographs and the video's great. So congratulations. Let's hope she wins. All right, another good news. This is not directly the animals, but certainly habitat for the animals. More than 10,000 acres of state-owned forest along the middle fork of the Snoqualmie River, some of it jammed with old-growth trees, will forever be protected from chainsaws. Yay! Commissioner of Public Lands Peter Goldmark on Wednesday formally announced he was designating the lands bounded by Interstate 90, Mount Si, and Mount Baker Snoqualmie Natural Forest as a natural resources conservation area. And
Well, fantastic. That's a beautiful area.
Yeah, yeah.
You've hiked Mount Si, I would imagine.
I haven't hiked it. I've been around it a lot and looked at it.
Yeah, it's lovely.
I'm not a hiker. Well, I haven't. I could be, but I haven't been. No. Well, and I don't do so good with heights.
Well, it's heights, and you'd sweat.
Well, I don't sweat. Well, I don't have a problem with that. But, yeah, I don't know. I figure if I was supposed to be that high on things, that I'd have wings. And since I don't. Okay. Let's see. Next good. Oh, this is also good news. African white rhinos were driven to the brink of extinction in the early 20th century, hunted for their horns. A breeding program launched in Botswana, over 10 years ago, has been successful in bringing the white rhino back, and they have been taken off the endangered species list.
Wow, really?
So that's amazing, huh?
That's terrific.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'm given the winner of the best good news about animals today is a telegraph.co.uk, stroking pets can cut painkiller use after surgery. And this is a Briton, a chair, let's see, the research that patients who had undergone